up this series that we started almost 2 months ago, Connecting with God in a Distracting World, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The last 5 or 6 weeks, we have primarily been in the book of Ephesians. Or 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And if you notice on the top of your handout there, a verse, that's been our theme verse, the whole idea behind measuring up, Ephesians 4:13. Let's just read this out loud together. I know it's probably been a hot day and a long day, and just kind of get you engaged here a little bit. So let's together read Ephesians 4:13, and then I'll have a short word of prayer. Let's begin. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Lord, we ask that you'd bless our Bible study tonight. Just guide and direct, help us to sense your presence here and your purpose being accomplished. We pray, Lord, for the young people downstairs and for the teenagers. We pray your blessings upon those two groups. We pray for those that are out at the ball field. We pray that you'd watch over them as well. We pray that, Lord, especially at the ball field, as the gospel is presented, there would be young ears there that hear the gospel, that maybe perhaps someone there tonight would come to know Christ as their Savior. At the very least, seeds will be planted. We depend on you, Holy Spirit, to bring those seeds to life and for souls to be saved, to bring conviction. We ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, on the verse that I just had you read, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So many, many weeks ago, we started with a four-part series, the importance of being unchained by religion. And then we talked about being unhindered from anxiety. And then I did a lesson on unleashed from lies. Another one, untangled from unbelief. Then we switch gears, and there was and is, if you remember, in Paul's epistles, many of his epistles, three important words that he uses over again and over again and over again. So I've done a number of Bible studies on those three important words. Let me see if you can remember those words. So what is one of those words? Faith. That's one of those words. Another one, Frank. Hope. Very good. And then one other one. You find faith, the word faith, you find the word hope, and you find one other. This one, I'll give you a hint. We talked about the quantity of it and the quality of it. Love, charity. Okay, so you read through Paul's epistles, you'll see that over and over and over again. He talks about faith and hope and love. Love, we talked about the quantity of our love and the quality of our love, all with the idea of how do we measure up? How do we measure up? And then we talked about hope. What's the basis of our hope and what's the blessings of our hope? And how do we measure up as believers? And then faith. If you remember, we talked about it was used three ways. It's used as a means of salvation. It's used also as this body of truth, the Bible, we call it our faith. And then last week, we especially talked quite a bit about a growing Christian experience. And how do we measure up? How do we measure up? Because Ephesians reminds us of that. Unto the measure of the fullness, or unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How do we measure up? And by the way, if you've ever built anything, you know the importance of measuring. Right? I mean, I haven't done a lot of building, but the little bit of building that I've done and the building that we've done around here and the help, I'm more of a helper than I would be of a leader in building. I learned this quickly, though. It's very important when you measure for the right measurements. Or like Jesse, you cook, and so you understand, as well as all of us have cooked, but he does it for a living, the importance of measuring. Because if you don't measure right, it doesn't really taste right. It's all measuring. Well, it's the same in our Christian lives. Why is it important? Why is this spiritual tape measure that we spent all of these weeks talking about, love, hope, faith, how does it measure up? Well, I think in 2 Corinthians, it kind of answers that. And it kind of ties it all together. So let's look at it here now in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul writes this. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And of course, this tabernacle that he's talking about here is what? What is he talking about? What is this tabernacle? Yeah, it's our body. It's our body. So the Bible says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, in a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Now, verse 2 is kind of interesting. I think the older that you get, I think the more you kind of realize this. He says, "For in this we groan." We get older. Physically we groan. But also spiritually. Listen, life isn't always easy. Amen? I mean, there are things that come our way that get us stressed out, that tire us out. We've been praying for Trina's dad and the issues he has with his bandages that probably physically wears you out as you deal with that. And so these are things that we deal with. And Paul reminds us of this. "For in this body we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." I wonder sometimes, though, if we really feel that way. I think we kind of hang on. This, I don't want this to sound the wrong way, because life is precious, and we should live life by God's grace to the fullest. Amen? But there's a much better life coming. Much better. We live in the United States where we have it so good. And I'll never forget talking to the former missionary to Papua New Guinea, the Taylors. In fact, I have hanging in my office a picture of the rapture. And how those people who lived in just such poverty and their health wasn't always very good, how much they looked forward to going to heaven. How important that was and how great that would be. They didn't really have anything in this world to hold on to. But we often look around and we're kind of holding on to everything. Well, that's what Paul's dealing with here. Verse number 3, "If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life." So what is he saying here? He's saying it's not just death that we're looking to ease our burdens. You know, why do people, this is very sad, but often, why do people take their own lives? Because they're so burdened in this life, and they have no hope, and many times no faith, and many times no sense of anyone even loves or cares about them. Well, Paul's writing here, and he's saying, it's not that we're looking to die for death's sake, but he goes on and he says this, he says, verse 4, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed." That means that we would die. The unclothed there, it's not talking about clothes, it's talking about that we would shed this body. "But clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up, or might swallow up life." Others, we have waiting for us immortality. We have waiting for us a home in heaven. Then he says, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight." So in other words, we're walking through this life. We know that there's a coming, there's a time coming when we'll shed this body, this tabernacle, and we'll go to be with the Lord. Verse 8, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now here it is. Here's the first point on your handout. Why? That was the question. Why is it important that we reflect upon how are we measuring up as Christians? Are we exercising the love of Christ to others? Are we exercising the hope that we have within us? Are we exercising our faith? Is it a growing Christian experience in our lives? Here's why it's important, verse 9. Wherefore we labor. As Christians, he's talking about our Christian experience. That whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. If you want to fill in the first blank here, why is it important? What motivates us to reflect upon how we measuring up? It is the terror of the Lord. We have to stand before God one day. Now, if you're here tonight and you're born again, you're saved, you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, you never have to worry about going to what the Bible speaks of as the great white throne of judgment. That's for unbelievers. But the judgment seat of Christ is for all of us. We are all, every single one of us tonight that are saved, we are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. In essence, it's at that time where we're going to see how do we measure up? How do we measure up? How did we labor? And Paul uses strong language here. When he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. In other words, what motivates us to love people? What motivates us to share the hope that we have with others? What motivates us with regards to our faith and watching our faith grow? Because one day we have to give an account for that. We all have to give an account. Are you prepared to give an account? Something I think we don't always think about. Look on your handout, I wrote for you 1 Peter 1:17. Peter wrote this, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. In fear of what? Knowing that one day you have to stand before the Lord and you have to give an account. In fact, keep your Bibles here, or your fingers here in your Bible. Go to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. In Romans chapter 14, Paul, it's the same theme. He writes there to the church in Rome and he says this. He says, let's begin in verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Now look what he says. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, and as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Well, so one of the things that you and I are going to be judged upon is if we don't have a loving spirit, is that then a stumbling block? If we're not exercising our faith and it's not being observed by others, does that then become a stumbling block? If we're not emphasizing the hope of Christ, does that become a stumbling block? If we're so quick to look at this person and this person and this person and judge them, which Paul writes and says, don't do that, isn't that becoming a stumbling block? So why is it so important to measure up, as Paul writes in the book of Ephesians, because of the terror of the Lord? You go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look what he says in chapter 4, by the way, in verse 2. Paul says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Let me just stop there. Let me ask you this, and you know the answer to it. Is there anything hidden from the Lord? Nothing. There is nothing that we can hide from the Lord. Not only what we do, but even our thoughts, we can't hide them from the Lord. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul knew that he would have to give an account of his ministry. So the terror of the Lord. So we labor to walk so as to please him. Well, how do you measure up? How are you doing? I was watching a baseball game the other day, and one of the players for the opposing team didn't hustle after the ball. And the manager pulled him from the game. In fact, there's a very famous baseball player from years ago who was playing for the New York Yankees, and they had a very fiery manager by the name of Billy Martin. And it was Reggie Jackson. Was probably one of the most popular players of his day. And Billy Martin pulled him from the game. They almost got into a fist fight in the dugout. But he wasn't hustling. He wasn't measuring up. And if you're a sports fan like me, it drives me nuts. You think, if these guys are getting paid millions of dollars to play a child's game, and some of them can't hustle from home plate to first base. They know they're going to get out, and they can't hustle. I always respected those players. It didn't matter what it was. They ran full speed to first base. That measured up to me as a player who really knew how to play the game. But we labor so as to please him, knowing that we have to give an account. You have to give an account unto the Lord. I really believe we're going to give an account of how we spent our time and how we spent our treasures and how we spent our talents for the Lord. We have to give an account. Romans 3:8 on your handout, or 18, says this, and that's in chapter 3 of the book of Romans. It's where Paul is talking about there is none righteous, no, not one. He's talking about those who did not like to retain God in their knowledge in the preceding verses. And he said this, there is no fear of God before their eyes. You know, I really think that's true even in independent Baptist churches like ours, that there are many people that have no fear of God. I think that it, especially in Western culture. But Paul writes, and he talks about the terror of the Lord. He goes on now, look in verse 12, and he says this, for we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. In other words, Paul is dealing with his apostleship has been attacked. And there were those who appeared one way, but their heart was far from what they appeared to be. God knew that. And God knows that with us. For whether we be besides ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which should live should not live henceforth unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So why should we measure our love and our hope and our faith? Well, number one, it's the terror of the Lord. We've got to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. But number two, it's the love of Christ that constrains us. It's the love of Christ. We have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. And Paul said that. He said, it's not just that I have to stand at the judgment seat, but I've accepted Christ as my Savior. And because I've accepted Him as my Savior, I am constrained. I understood what He has done for me. Verse 15, he understood this, that He died for all, and that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. I love the end of verse 14 where he says, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. Listen, you and I, before we received new life in Christ, we were all dead in our sin and in our trespasses, on our way to a Christless eternity, on our way to hell. But Jesus died on the cross. He shed His blood for us. And how, we're not worth it. In His eyes, I suppose we are. That's why He did. But there's nothing worthy about us. There's nothing good about us. There's nothing desirable about us. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we're constrained by His love in our hearts. This not only should cause us to love God intensely and to labor for the salvation, for the love of men, just as Jesus loved the world. But how did He loved the world so much He poured out His entire life. We should be influenced by the same amount of love. I quoted, I think, on Sunday night, that verse out of Proverbs that says, he that winneth souls is wise. The word winneth, if you study it out, it actually is the same word that would be used for a hunter that would pursue its prey and do anything that it could to find that prey. We went to a sportsman's banquet years ago, and this guest speaker, he was a good speaker, but he was quite the hunter. His presentation, deer hunting, he would track a deer sometimes for a day and a half to 2 days. He would sleep in the woods. I mean, he was into it. This was in Pennsylvania, where it's cold the deer season. But he would track that deer down. Well, that's the same idea about the love of Christ, that we would track down men for Christ. On your handout, Romans 5:1. In fact, all three of these words that we've kind of zeroed in on the last few weeks are here. Paul writes, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that in and of itself ought to constrain us to serve the Lord. Amen? The fact that we put our faith and trust in Jesus, and He saves us from our sin. He saves us from going to hell. And then in verse 5, it goes on and it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I just noticed as we study these three words, they all work together. Faith, hope, and love. It starts with faith. We take that faith that gives us hope, and we take that hope and we use it to love God and to love those that are around us. And Paul was constrained by that, he says, in 2 Corinthians. So, why do we measure how am I loving people and how am I loving God? And the basis of my hope, how hopeful am I? And am I sharing that hope with a lost and dying world? And my faith, yes, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. That's a means of salvation. Yes, I believe that this book that I hold in my hand is the faith, the body of truth. But what about a growing Christian experience? Is your faith the same today as it was 6 months ago? Or as it was a year ago? And if you're thinking in your mind, yeah, it is, then it's not growing. It's not moving forward. How are you stepping out by faith? What are you doing differently? Are you trusting Jesus? Decisions come your way. Are you trusting Jesus? These are the things that constrained Paul. These are the things, it wasn't just the judgment seat, but all the intense love that he had for Jesus Christ and what Jesus had done for him. It just drove him to serve the Lord. Let me finish with this example and we'll go to our prayer time. Go to the book of Acts chapter 4. We've been preaching through the book of Acts on Sunday mornings. And you see in this situation that we preached on a couple of weeks ago, you see this whole idea of the love of Christ here constraining the apostles. So in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," the "they" there are the Sadducees, and they had come before Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, and Peter had dealt with them. But they saw the boldness of these men and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they couldn't say nothing against it. Remember the lame man, they had healed the lame man earlier in chapter 4. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, and it's manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in his name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now in verses 19 and 20, as I read through it, this is the idea behind the love of Christ constraining them. "But Peter and John answered and said, 'Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" That little phrase there, "we cannot but," it's the same word to mean, it's the same idea that Paul says the love of Christ constrained them. The idea of being constrained, it's to be forced into something or pressed into something. They were willingly pressed into service here. They said, "Listen, you can say what you want, but we have such a love, such an adoration for Jesus that we are going to continue to speak about Jesus whether you tell us not to or you tell us to. Nothing's going to stop us." And as we go through the book of Acts, we'll see them thrown into prison. We'll see Stephen, the first martyr of the church, stoned to death. Nothing would stop them. Why? They understood they had to stand one day before the judgment seat of Christ, but they were also motivated because they just loved Jesus. They just loved Him and couldn't do enough for Him. So that finishes up our Bible study of measuring up. Measure yourself. Where's your love? Is it growing? Is it a growing love? Is the love of Christ abounding and overflowing in your heart? Is your hope the basis and the blessing of your hope? And your faith, is it a growing Christian experience? Last week, I spoke about moment by moment practicing the presence of Jesus, moment by moment practicing the passion of Jesus, moment by moment in Ephesians it speaks about the power of Jesus, moment by moment in Ephesians it speaks about the peace of Jesus, moment by moment it speaks about the protection. Thinking about these things, moment by moment, each and every day, His presence, His power, His peace, His passion, all of that living in and flowing through us. Change your life. It'll change your life. How do we measure up? Let's bow our heads for a short word of prayer, and then you can go to your prayer time. Lord, we are so thankful for the examples of the apostles, men like Peter and John and Paul, as they just were passionate about serving you, passionate about people. Lord, help us to draw that from you, that as we walk in the Spirit, that, Lord, you would live in and through us, and a lost and dying world would see Christ living in and through us. Help us to examine our lives, to measure our lives, and in areas that we're lacking, Lord, help us to draw that strength and that power from you. Bless our prayer time. In Jesus' name, amen.